As we open our worship service, perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you again that we can open your word, that you gave, you honor it. God, in honoring it, we honor you. And our God, as we look and read and think, we are reminded and refreshed about your wonderful presence and your person. And our God, we thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, over to the book of Ephesians. And in chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, in the light of that, are trying to put all the pieces in order here. And for those who weren't in Sunday school, for those that were, just reminding you that we share together time and eternity. And we reminded ourselves, theory of relativity, we reminded ourselves that time is relative, and we did all that. So that the person living in California right now, it is, make believe it's 3 hours, may say it's 9 o'clock. And they are just finishing breakfast, make believe. And here we are, about to have lunch, make-believe. And we go to England, 4 o'clock, and they're taking a nap. All of that is now. This is now to us. But right now is now in California. It is now in England. It's the same now. It isn't a different now. It's the same now. And we share together that, as we put all that, the infinitude of the great sensory system we have, eyes, ears, taste, touch, smell, having that. And we react to the awesomeness of time, which has no dimensions. It's just time. And God, here we are. And we're able to be in your presence. And we have a given moment for us. But all of those moments are all at once. They aren't different. They're all there. Now. Now is now. Now, God, that's how you see us. You see us before anything was ever created. You created us. And in your mind and heart, you created us, God, and had us in mind, and doing so because the Lord Jesus Christ, back then, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, was going to be slain on Calvary's cross when there wasn't even a world, not even angels. God, that is real. This is real, where we are right now, all at once. And at the end of time, when there is no more time, eternity is timeless. There is no past, and there is no present. It's all now. It's a whole nother realm. That's the realm we live in right now. Forget everything is now, right now, right now. We go by the clock, we get out of bed and do everything, but actually, it's all now. Now, why say that? Because God, here we are, we've passed yesterday, we're into today, we're headed to tomorrow. All of that is one now, one awesome moment. You can't even use the word moment. All exists. So you have a beginning and a wonderful plan, a wonderful purpose to be alive on planet Earth, and a wonderful conclusion to being in time as we step into timelessness, eternity. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, you need to. It's all there. So God, you have a wonderful thing in mind. I do. Now, so therefore you want to say to yourself, how do you see yourself? As you people have all the different things they used to have to look in a mirror, now you just look in your phone and all the different things, and people do. How do you see yourself, actually? How do others see you, really? How do other people see you? How does God see you? How does God see you, actually? We see ourselves as we think we see ourselves. Other people see us as they want to think. But God, you see us in this all at once. Born, living, dying. You didn't make us for time. You made us for eternity. So we aren't here for time. Nope, this is just a little blip. Born, die. Just a little time to be exercised and privileged on planet Earth. Now, in the light of that, God, what have you done? Ephesians. In Ephesians, God, you, let me say another way because I don't want to go way off. If you had a tomato plant and you had tomato seed, and the tomato seed and the tomato plant, and you're going to plant the seeds from the tomato plant, what do you expect to get? Tomatoes. That's not a trick question. Tomatoes. Adam. God created Adam. He's the first human. Out of the first human, Adam and Eve, you and I came. What did you expect from Adam? He's a human. Body, soul, spirit. What are you? Body, soul, spirit. Tomato plant, tomatoes. Adam, humans. When Adam sinned, Adam died, he lost his relationship to God. Gone. Wonderful relationship. Made in the image and likeness, Genesis 1, 26, 27. Made in his image and likeness, us humans. Here we are, wow, in his image and likeness. To be able to enjoy and know him in an awesome, like no one else. Not like animals, to have instinct as we share together. Nope. God made us so that we can only fulfill the reason we're designed like we are, body, soul, spirit, is God has to be involved. God is our life, our instinct, if you could say it that way. God makes it all work. Now God, when Adam sinned, he lost the relationship to God. So everyone down the line was born in sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. In Adam's fall, we sinneth all, etc. Now, here's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. You were dead, already dead, in trespasses and sin. So when we look at humans, what do you mean dead? God isn't there. 7 billion plus people. And how many of them know God? No, God isn't in them. They know that. They don't know. They may be religious. They may not even be religious. There's no God. And to add to that so you can understand that, God made you, each human, to be able to enjoy God in a most awesome personal way. Now, here's humans, and everyone, like the tomatoes, we're all born dead in sin. That means, to say it simply, God isn't, you don't know God. That's all. God's missing. Over to verse 5. Ephesians 2 and verse 5. And when we were dead, there's the little verb, we're dead, dead, we were dead, we were dead. And we have the same thing in verse 2, verse 1. And hath he quickened who when we were dead. So you have the same verb, the same noun, we're dead. The verb dead, dead, we're dead. That's right, we're dead. We are presently dead, present tense. So all human beings are born dead. What do they need? They need life. Verse 5 again. When we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So, what do humans need? To say it simply, you need a relationship to God that you don't have. And no one's going to argue that. They don't have a relationship to God, to know God. We're in His presence. No question. No, I don't know God. I mean, do you know, are you religious? I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you that. I asked, do you know Him? That's what it's all about. A unique, wonderful relationship to God. And that's what God has made possible. So what is the issue? The issue is we who are without God need to get to know God. God has made that possible by way of His death on Calvary's cross. Before the foundation of the world, God determined that. God the Son determined to die on the cross before anything. That's why anything can even exist, because of God's wonderful saving grace and purpose to glorify Him, His wonderful person. Who can glorify God except God? He's the only God and the only Savior. So He's the only one that could appreciate being God. But He's made humans to be able, His image and likeness, to be able to enjoy Him. So God, You have gone and taken us who were spiritually dead. And remember now, you are different than a mouse or a kangaroo or a bird. You have a body which houses physical body, which is replaced every 7 years, every cell in your body, apparently. Here's your body, and the body houses you, the person. The person is not the body. The person's in the body. The person has a soul, eternal, and the soul, the person, houses a spirit. So they are body, soul, spirit. The body houses the soul and spirit. The spirit is what? Why did God give us a spirit? Why couldn't He just made us like animals? No, because God is spirit. And they that worship God must worship Him what? In spirit and in truth. And God made you to be able to house Him, to know Him. Sin makes it dead in sin, means we don't have Him. Christ, You made it. You died on the cross, and as many as received You, to them gave You the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God, sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. So God, You made it possible. Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea and died and rose again to make what happen? To make it so that God would have sin being taken care of. Who did the sin taking? Who took care of the sin? The Lord Jesus Christ, who happens to be the only Savior. And He Himself did it. So God is quite satisfied, propitiated, satisfied with what He's done. And therefore He offers to whosoever, Adam, Eve, all the way down the line, to be able to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. To have a unique relationship to God. Now, that's a quick whatever to help you understand. So here we are in time. Time has got a beginning and an ending. And you look at yourself, and you see yourself, however, in a moment. Other people see you, more or less, in your yesterdays and tomorrows, etc. All of that's but for a moment. And God, You've done something wonderful to make it possible for us to know You as our Lord and Savior, to receive You God, that's the problem. We're dead in sin. We need to be made alive. Wages of sin is death. The gift of Romans 6:23. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, God, what did you do? You gave us life. Whose life? Think of Sunday school. God gave us your life. It isn't our life. God gives us his wonderful person, a relationship to him. He is eternal life. He that hath a son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Wow. Now, having said that, I got that. So God, you made me to be able to, for my heart, for your home, for you to find your home in my heart, you made me to know you spiritually. I was dead in sin. You made it so that I'd be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives God himself, brings himself into the human heart to have a unique relationship. Now, over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you would know, may I go directly there in the light of everything. And keeping in mind, I'm going to go up to verse 14, I guess, a little bit. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That's right. Christ died because the wages of sin is death. Christ died for us, paid the penalty, so that we could know him. Verse 50. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, nope, not anymore, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now, verse 17. Therefore, if any man, boy, girl, man, or woman, be where? Where are they located? In Christ. When they are located in Christ, they are a new creature, a new creation, a brand new creation. Wonderful, wonderful creation. Now, having said that, then without hang on to that part and go over with, I'm coming back here, but over to Galatians, the book of Galatians, remember, it's a new creation. So I just want to lock that in. God, when I receive the Lord as my Savior, I have a relationship to God. And that relationship makes me a brand new creation. Not Jew in this case, not Gentile. A unique relationship to God, that God is demonstrating what? His wonderful, wonderful grace. So here's Galatians, if I can, chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and picking up in thought, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, going to do something, earn something, make something happen. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Whether you do something, you don't do something. That isn't going to change anything. Time is going on. God gave you the beginning and an ending. You were born physically in order to have the privilege of knowing God. That's why you were born. God, you would have never been born if it wasn't to know him. Christ died on the cross before you were ever created. And therefore, he died for the sin of the world. Genesis 3:15. And all you had to do was believe. God doesn't hold anything against us. We're already dead, all of us. There's nothing against anybody. You can't say, oh, you're a bad person, you're a good person. What make any difference? Circumcision, uncircumcision? No. Either you know Christ, you don't. He makes you, in this case, a new creation, a brand new critter, a brand new creation. Wow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, over to chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And you will pick up, please, in Galatians chapter 1. May I go? Paul's giving his testimony. Verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The gospel, the good news, Jesus Christ died, was born, died, buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, and in other words, we're trying to find good news somewhere else. We're looking to get good news. Where's good news? Got to find some good news. And all the different news coming on, hither and yon. You want good news. Ah. So I forgot. The good news isn't going to be in the bad news. The good news is that all the bad news in forever has been taken care of. When Christ died on the cross, he took care of, condemned, judged all bad news. And he offers you his wonderful person, which is good news. Good news. Mm-hmm. Now, here's Galatians again. If I can, while you're there, over in chapter 6, verse 16. Paul, remember, I'm going to read verse 15. For when it pleased 1:15 Galatians. And when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal, what was the whole purpose? To reveal his son in me. Well, it took so many years, Paul. Yes, it did. It took all those years on the Damascus Road. And finally you did it. Yes. God waited. God created me before the foundation of the world to know him. The same as he created us to know him. And therefore, Paul, you got it. Paul said, I'm going to explain to you what it's all, why was I ever born? Why am I here? How many people ever ask you those questions? Why were you born? Why are you here? Wow. There are no answers. And besides, I didn't mean to lose that. Do you know that you have to have, you are made, body, soul, spirit, to have a unique relationship to God in a very whole personal involvement, all of you for all of him. Do you know you all had a parent, mother, father of some sort too? Are you related to them? How were you attached to them? You aren't attached to them. No, you aren't. No, you aren't. They're there. You can walk out the door, they die. You're not attached to your mother and father. Are you attached, husbands, wives? Are you attached to each other? No. No. Go out the door? No. No, we aren't attached to anything. To anyone. Work, home, school, you aren't attached to anyone. No, you aren't. You're made for God. And you can't go and get attached that we can hug them and hold them and buy them pizza. No relationship. No, we don't. No, with no one. You don't have any relationship to anybody. Like that. Only God. God made you for him. Now, back over. In Galatians, verse 16, 1 and 16, to reveal his son in me. To reveal his son in me. I'm going to slide over to verse 24. Remember verse 16, to reveal his son, where? In him. And now what are people going to say? If you get truly know your Lord as your Savior and you received God and God is you find God in your heart, God finds you in his wonderful Son, Christ Jesus. And therefore, verse 24, they glorified God, the people that thought he was Paul was a bad guy, a Pharisee hunting, killing, imprisoning Christians. And they say, do you know what happened to this fellow? He received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, verse 16. And what does that mean? Well, verse 24, God is in him. That's what they understood. That isn't understood today. No, we just joined the club, joined the group. That's what we did. Another group, another club, another way, another religious, but we're all Christians in whatever form that means. Whatever that means to anybody, and it means many things. But what's it mean to God? So you want to look to God, and God does a wonderful thing. And therefore, to glorify God in me. Over to Galatians chapter 2 where you're here. And verse 20, Paul's going to say it again, miss it, that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, or in the faith, body of truth, to be believed, in the faith of the Son of God, faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I have a unique relationship to God. God is in me. I have a unique relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hang on to your thought now. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if a man, a woman, boy, or girl be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's brand new. God, you fixed it. I did. I died on the cross to make it possible that whosoever born and die in this whole time frame are going to know and have the privilege of being born again, of having being they're born spiritually dead. They can be born spiritually alive. I made them. I gave them opportunity, privilege, time to be able to know and honor me. Paul had all that time, and Paul did. Paul did. Chapter 3. Chapter 3. And in verse 26. For you are all the children of God. How? By faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized, placed into, immersed into, identified into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So God, what did you do? I took boy or girl, man or woman, and when you received me as your Savior, when you do that, I make you part of my Son. God, what did you do? You brought us into a unique relationship to who you are, to be able to know you in a unique and wonderful way. Now, God, that's what you want. It is. And while you're here, over to Ephesians, just to remind you, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, God hath put all things under his, Christ's feet, and gave him, Christ, to be the head, risen Christ, and here we are, whosoever's to believe, head over all things to the church, the assembly, the body of believers, and then you don't have to guess what that means, church. Verse 23, which is his body? The church, what is this? This isn't a group of organization or something. This is a bunch of people, I hope, that are saved, gathered together in his name to honor him. We're related. To what? We have one life. Whose life? God's life. And verse 23, which is his body? The fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we have a unique, privileged relationship to God in a most awesome way. Now, having said that, therefore, back over to 2 Corinthians. Wonderful thing to have when I receive the Lord as my Savior. God does a wonderful thing and saves us in a most wonderful way. Now, and therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, may I pick up verse 17 again. 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man, boy or girl, man or woman, be found where? In Christ, receiving the Lord as their Savior. He, she, is a new creation, new. They aren't male, they aren't female, they aren't Jew, they aren't Gentile. They're made, given a unique, privileged relationship to God to demonstrate his saving grace in a most awesome way, which we've shared so many times. Now, the old things, old, ancient, old, worn out, the old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the old things, all things are passed away, all gone. Why? Because when you receive the Lord as your Savior, You realized that you were dead in sins, that you had no relationship to God, and now, because of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have life, a unique relationship to God. Whose life do you have? God's life. What kind of life is it? Eternal life, timeless life. It has no time, it has no beginning, it has no end. You receive God who has no beginning and no end. You have a life, a unique, wonderful relationship to God. Here we are in time, going through all these different things. We couldn't even handle it. Nanoseconds, you know, of you can't even take it. It's split at a billionth of a second, so big, all at once. But we only live a moment, 1 second at a time. But it's all this. Wow. God, you know that. I do, he said. Wow. Now, having said that, therefore, he's new, everything is new. So this word new has to do, looking backwards, everything that you were and are, up to the time you knew the Lord as your Savior, is old. And God doesn't need it. But I've got a PhD in soap suds. Wow, I get all kinds of stuff. Wow. It's all new. God sees you as new. N-E-W. New. Different. Not like you were. It's new. My words, my thoughts, my deeds are all there. My old nature, my tomato plant, all of that I've got. I've got that. But God, that is a pain in the neck to us. If we say we have no sin, we make him deceive ourselves, we make him a liar, etc. No, we already, that's a, but God, how are we to look at it? We are to look at the moment. Back to Sunday school. No, because the moment's gone, a nanosecond. And nothing's for here, everything's fast. Whether you like it or not, you can't stop the clock. There is no clock for God. The clock is something we use. Wow. It's all now. It's all done. God, you finished it. That's right. And I want you to know that old things have passed away. I don't want any of it. I did everything new. I made you a new creature in Christ. You have a unique relationship to who I am, and I want you to exercise that relationship to me, to God in his wonderful grace, to look to God with all your heart. And God, you're going to go and work it out in a most awesome way. And so it's new. Everything's going to be new. That's right. New. Having said that, keeping that in mind, over if you would to Romans chapter 12. So God, you've done it so that when you see us, you can have your memory there, your memories in the past, back to the past. You can have your fears about the future, have all that. You got them back and forth, but you're only living in a moment. And God has let you know, here's this whole thing. God, God died on the cross for you, he died when you came out of the mother's womb till the day they put you in the ground, if the Lord tarries. And that's all one wonderful thing. God said, that's it. And when I died on the cross, you died for me. I got saved here. But God, I'm still tomato seed. I'm still Adam. Aha! But when I died on the cross, I died. Here's your birth and here's your death. And there's not one moment, not one second of your existence that I didn't cover about your life all the way to the end. So when I tell you good news, gospel, to believe, understand, you're a new creature. New. Well, what am I like tomorrow? It doesn't matter what you're like tomorrow. I already died for tomorrow. What happens to what I was? I don't care what you are. I already died for that. Do you understand? You're looking at seconds and trying to segment them out. And you can't do that. Not in the big picture. You can do that. That's how we live. That's a trouble. That's why you get depressed, depleted, discouraged, disappointed. All the words. Wow, we got them. Why? Because we live in the moment. We didn't understand any moment's gone. And it has to be finished. Christ died for the whole thing. So when God says, the old is passed away, A, B, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, I died for it all. You're a new creature. So I don't want you to sit there and rehash yesterday. I don't want you to sit down and try to guess at and worry about tomorrow. I don't want you to do that. I want you to understand you are to have a unique relationship to who I am. And I want you to go and enjoy it. And understand. You thought these things. You did these things. You did all of this. And you probably will do all of this. But I died. And you're a new creature. So exercise it. Exercise what? If we confess our sins, faithful and just, to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, right? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. Wow, that's true. So God, here we are. So I got a picture. Here I am. I'm a new creature. New. In the light of yesterday, in the light of forever, tomorrow, I'm new. And that's how God sees you. Do you understand that? That's what God wants. So we get all kind of, did you have a good day, a good week, a bad week? No, we get all kind up in all kinds of stuff. And it shoots us down. And we live in our dumb memories, and we live in our feelings, our fears, our faults. We live in them. And we lose. Over at Romans. Romans chapter 12. You're a new creature in Christ if you get saved. And that's how God, I'm trying to help you understand what new means. New means God said, I don't care about yesterday, anything, and I don't care about tomorrow. I've already done. You're new. Your relationship to me, said God, is what it's about. And there is no time to it. It's called eternal life. A relationship. It doesn't have any time. It doesn't have any Jew, Gentiles, doesn't have that. No. It's a wonderful thing to be able to live so that we have, and knowing what? Everything's going nanoseconds, traveling in time. We couldn't even handle what's happening every second all over the universe. But we don't need to. God already has that. Wonderful. So now, Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in the light of all of Romans, hence be, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, most logical thing to do. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed from the inside out, not from the outside. Don't let the special clothes have to have a little label on them from the outside to make you look like. No, it's from the inside out, not the outside in. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you're going to renew. There's your little word, only a little word. You're going to make it new again. You have to think. That's why we're trying to help you understand just some basic things that should be understood about time, humans, everything. What is it all about? And we sort of, anyway. If we don't have that, we're just religious people to some measure going nowhere at all. Nope. God, you got to help us. Therefore, renewing of your mind. You got to think. That's what we're trying to remind ourselves, to help us start thinking over Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and picking up, if I may, in verse 6. Knowing this, 6:6 Romans. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed or made inactive, the chains have been cut that held us in bondage, might be destroyed, that henceforth we should no more serve sin, because our old man. Now, what did you say, God? I told you, the old has passed away. I finished the old. I crucified it. I'm done. But God, we want to handle it. We want to rehash it. Maybe we didn't think it through. Maybe we need to take a pink pill and redo it again. No, it's done. Finished. How many times do you bring up your past over and over again with God when he's finished with it? Wow. Now, so therefore, and thus therefore, we're going to have to go from old to new, verse 4, Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, immersion, identification, into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, what's the result? What's the purpose? Even so, we also, us, should walk in, there's your little word, newness. Not oldness. The oldness is done. So when you get out of bed, go to work, you got a problem, you confess your sin, God forgives the sin, done, and you get on with it. Think of that Lamentations 3 in that. New every morning are your mercies, God. And fortunately, you aren't condemning us because you already did it. So we're going to get chastened if we're believers, and we're missing out. We're missing out on being new. And we're trying to run our life. And the world we're living in, if you think you're getting away with it now, you give yourself another year or two, or not even that. Watch the pressure that will build. Wow. Then what will you do? No, I got to have an answer. I got to have something that locks me in to be able to work, home, school, kids, and problems, and pain, heartache. Chapter 7. To walk in newness of life. Chapter 7. And in verse 6, but now, 7, 6, just picking up the mood. But now you are delivered from the law, that being dead, that's what God, you did a wonderful thing, dying on the cross, because we were condemned. Being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness, there's your little word, brand new, not like the old, different, newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. No, we don't have to think like that anymore. No, if I do this, it'll be. No, God, it's a wonderful thing. We're looking to you who made us new creatures in Christ Jesus in a most awesome and wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, go with me over to Ephesians. All kinds of ways to do it. That's what the New Testament is about. It's about you having a unique relationship to God. That's what it's about. It isn't about coming to, what it's about you becoming changed. Changed, like him. Changed in a wonderful way to know him. Then you work, homeschool, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's right, back to your renewed in our thinking. God, we got to think right, got to think. If I say, well, I don't need to understand. Well, then how are you going to think right if you don't understand? And there's any big bonus for being stupid. Do you remember any? Our Lord will say it in Corinthians, let the ignorant but be ignorant. God gave us his word so we aren't stupid. So God, here we are in your presence, Without your word, the only book in all the world that you've given to us, the only one that exists is your word, Bible, the Bible. Well, God, where are we going to go? We can't. We can't. Now, so God, verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God, you want us to put off, like clothes, you take the old clothes off, and put on new clothes. God, you gave us the new clothes. That's right. What did you do with Adam and Eve? They put on fig leaves. Fig leaves are terrible for covering, for hiding, nothing. God, you slay the animals and they put on coats of skin that you prepared for them. The skin covering. Wow, that's what you did. The life of another, the life of the animal, is now covering you. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, the life of our Lord Jesus Christ covers you. Whose life does God see? His Son. He sees His Son. And that's what, God, I need to see that. Otherwise, I get down in the dumps, etc. God, I don't want to do that. I want to learn well and learn rightly. And therefore, over to 2 Corinthians. Remember, you may, as we move forward to another year, if the Lord tarries, you'll find your past. Where is your past? In the person of Jesus Christ. Where is your future? In the person of Jesus Christ. Where is your present? In the person of Jesus Christ. So in the person of Jesus Christ, here and now, I already have my past and I have my future. Timeless. I have the whole ball of wax in one shot. Wow. Where? In the person of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God, what are you going to do to help us? Well, if I can. Verse 16. For which cause, thanksgiving to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man, fleshly body we live in, is perishing, yet the inward man, there's your little word, renewed. It's renewed, day by day, that's right. Every day, it's new. Now, when does it get old? It never gets old. How do you take care of the old me, living the old me, by giving you a new me? So I have the old me when I get out of bed, tomato plant, the old me, but God crucified the old me, and so I'm going to understand God isn't going by my old me. God said, I want you to exercise your relationship to the new me, to you, God. The Lord Jesus Christ is all that we need for all that we are. Wow. Now, therefore, day by day, renewed, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, God, we're trying to figure out all the time and things that are happening in China and things that happened in Iran and in Venezuela and all over the place. Here we are in our own country. Wow! We don't get caught up in that. No. No, I understand that. That is only a moment. And A is going to go to B, to C, to D, to E. God, you're going to make it the beginning of time, the end of time. Beginning of my life, the end of my life. The beginning of your life, the end of your life. God, that's what we need to understand. And God, you're letting it all come together because you have it all at once before the foundation of the world. You planned it, designed it, and committed yourself to die on Calvary's cross to make it all possible, to honor and glorify yourself in timelessness, your timelessness, to become our eternity. Wow, God. That's for us. Wow. So God, you made us a new creature. I need to understand it. In the light of the old, in the light of the future, you need to be new now. New now. Now. New. Our Father and God, deal with our head and heart and help us a little bit as we tried to just come to grips with the awesomeness of being alive, God, on planet Earth. To be able to see it from a big picture, from your picture, God, that we don't get hung up in a little picture, our little life in a little way, and we lose the whole ball game, God. So you got to help us. Thank you. Thank you for making it so wonderfully easy. That God, you aren't going to tell us and we aren't going to talk about anything except the good news that we can receive you as our Lord and Savior and know you and honor you. God, that's what it's all about. Work, home, school are going to continue. But boy, it's just different. We're just new. And we're to understand we're new this afternoon, tonight, and next month, if you should tarry and we should live. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.